history in Britain. We will not have a revolution tomorrow, and certainly not a revolution which will spread throughout several countries. So that's the difference in the situation. You must, in a concrete world situation, see where is momentarily, the main weight of the struggle, where the forces of imperialism are most immediately threatened. In the long run, it is true, the decisive struggles will be in the imperialist countries. There is not the slightest doubt to this. But I say, imperialism can be weakened much more quickly and much more decisively by a spread of victorious establishment of socialism. Nobody says that. By a spread of victorious socialist revolutions in the backward countries than by defensive struggles in the imperialist countries, on which, for the time being, we don't know when and at what moment they will win. There is a big historical origin of this discussion, and I'm astonished at this comment. You know who were the first to use this kind of arguments? The first to use this kind of arguments were the Mensheviks in Russia. Russia is a backward country. It is a peasant country. It was absolutely true. In Russia, you had 80% of the population were peasants. And they said, don't concentrate on struggle in Russia, because in Russia you can't build socialism. It's too backward. And the Bolsheviks answered, we do not make revolution in Russia in order to build socialism here. We make revolution in Russia in order to weaken world capitalism. And because we think that as a result of this weakening, revolution will be more quickly and more easily in the imperialist countries. Now, if you ask yourself one question, look at the strongest imperialist country in the world, the key country in the world, the United States of America. Could you honestly say that the American working class in the last 3 years has made the same contribution to the weakening of American imperialism as the Vietnamese Revolution? Could anybody say that in the concrete situation of today? So I say you have the same historical confluence as in 1917, thanks to the struggle of the Vietnamese, to the struggle of the Cubans, and tomorrow we hope to a more generalized revolution in Latin America and in Asia. American imperialism is decisively weakened, which will then help the American working class to start to struggle for power in the United States. I don't see whatever in this argumentation is unorthodox or different from the argumentation as it was made by Lenin and Trotsky in 1917.
It's always a sign of an extremely weak argument whenever the advocate has to base its position on the personalities involved, the direct personalities involved in the dispute. Now let's get one thing absolutely clear. In relation to the colonial revolution, the tendency which we represent has a record which probably compares to its significance the direct record individually of André Gervaise. Surely the Algerian revolution is
During
the Algerian Revolution, the comrades on the top table are well aware, a number of comrades from England went and gave direct material assistance to the National Liberation Front in Algeria, who had the same position as ourselves. No illusions in the main forces in Algeria at that particular time. Ben Bella and the leadership of the Liberation Forces. That didn't stop us from giving direct assistance, material assistance, concrete assistance to the revolution in Algeria at that particular time. Where it possible, and under the circumstances, we would do the same. If we were in Vietnam at the present time, we would be fighting shoulder to shoulder with the NLF. We would be taking up arms and assisting them in the fight against American imperialism and against landlordism. But it's quite a big book, comrades, you made, because your analogy between Vietnam at the present time and the Russian Revolution is completely contrary, in our opinion, to the Marxist position. In the Russian Revolution, the working class was the main force involved in the revolution. This is an ABC question, as far as Marxists are concerned. The working class, as small as it was, led the peasantry.
Does it lead
the Bolsheviks were based upon the working class. The peasantry thousand feet, with one best of all, who finish your weapons fast. In Vietnam, unfortunately, we say unfortunately, the task forces involved in the revolution are the other way around. The revolution, primarily, is based upon the peasantry. Now, if we were in Vietnam, as Comrade Germain, and those comrades at the top table, take a position in opposition to Trotsky in relation to the advance of the Red Army in Poland in 1939. And what was Trotsky's position? It's two minute differences. The revolution in Poland in 1939 advanced by bureaucratic military means. But Trotsky said that the Marxist opposition would be to fight alongside the partisans of the Red Army for the expropriation of land owners and capitalism. But at the same time, to demand Soviets, to demand the right to election of all officials, the right of people, in other words, to program a political revolution. This is concretely what you would do in Vietnam at the present time. To say that the leadership of the NLF, and to even imply that the leadership of the NLF at the present time, are international Marxists, as a matter of fact, are misleading the very people in this region tonight. Now, in relation to the revolution concretely in the advanced industrial countries, nobody is suggesting.
Can you warn your mouth, sir?
Two more sentences, comrade. Just two more. In relation to the revolution in the advanced industrial countries, we've always advocated for a period of 2 to 3 years now that a very struggle on Vietnam was to be successful in Britain or any advanced industrial country. It would have to raise the level of consciousness inside the organised labour movement. It would have to evoke the working class concretely along those paths where they could be involved directly in a Vietnamese revolution. We've entirely agreed with Comrade Germain that the only way to do this is to raise the pressure for boycotts and strikes against imperialism where possible. The lacking of all goods is going to Vietnam. Taking up the question. You must be a brave
comrade, John. Look, sit down. Is anybody else want to contribute to the discussion?
Yes, I'd just like to take up the point that Comrade Mandel raised on the question of income policy and the question of the labour movement in this particular country. Now, if you're talking about illusions and a few truths, I will try and give a few truths. I happen to work in a factory of about 2,000 workers. Now, you put forward a position that the incomes policy is attacked by the capitalist class. This is true, but you've got illusions, comrade, right? That the working class in this country is on the defensive. You seem to get a very important factor that there's a Labour government in power. Yes, comrade chairman, comrade, a Labour government in power. And a Labour government that has illusions. The working class have very big illusions in what Wilson could do. Now, it's true to say, at this particular time, we're now seeing the end, if you like, by the trade union movement, first of all, of the ending of the illusions in the Wilson government. But the comrade seems to, and doesn't understand, in my point of view, the feelings of the rank and file at shop level. Because when the Wilson government came to power, and being on the shop floor, and I am a shop steward in one of these department, I feel the men did have the illusion that at last here was a government that was going to do something, was going to change society from what the Tories have done in the last 30 years. Now, you don't shatter illusions in social democracy overnight. We here might be very far-sighted, and we are far-sighted from the ordinary worker, but unfortunately, don't shatter, as I said before, the illusion of a social democracy government. They have tremendous effects on the working class. Now, I would say that, as I said before, the end is coming. But unfortunately, going off this point, getting back to the point of the Vietnam demonstration. Now, I participated in that demonstration. I went to the Grove Square with the rest of them. But I wouldn't say that this was the best kind of action in which to participate. I would say if we're really going to participate and help the Vietnamese revolution in a concrete manner, it's a matter of working inside the labour organisation.